This is the day the Lord has made. Amen. Now, I'll tell you what. Every year, and you guys know this because I've been here now 7 years, it is really hard to pass up the Ezekiel passage. I mean, give me a break. He's out there. There's a valley of bones. He's talking to the bones. The bones come to life and they're an army. Give me a break. That's just woo. That is good Bible. And every pastor is generally a middle schooler when it comes to that passage. But then you think about it. Can you meet enough veterans in your life? They might ask, how did they all get there? Because they didn't just fall apart one day. Because militaries are called upon oftentimes to curb evil, to stop the halt of wrong, even other armies trying to do wrong. And then the psalmist reminded us today that we can't rely on our strength and our force to bring salvation. And Jesus reminds us of that today. But it is a remarkable sight to see the Word of God bring life to those who were called upon to curb evil. And then the ultimate expression of that began in today's reading when we hear, "Peace be with you." On the evening of the day of the first week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. But it wasn't just the Jews they feared. The disciples have filled themselves with doubt and disbelief. Jesus is dead, and they didn't even stand up for him, let alone with him. The night he was arrested in the garden, they all left him and fled. It appears they feared everybody but God today. Think about it for a moment. They had deserted and left this one that they had confessed to be the Christ, the Son of the living God, Matthew 16:16, to suffer the greatest of tortures and most shameful of executions. Imagine you had been entrusted, just for a moment, to give you an earthly example, that you had been entrusted with babysitting your little brother or your little sister or your godchild, your grandchild, your neighbor's kid, doesn't matter, and that kid got hurt. Or worse, because you were busy talking or texting on the phone or watching TV or playing a video game. You know, the kind of things you do to try to find a bit of escape from the realities of and the pursuit of some happiness in this world. And because of that, somebody was hurt or killed. Well, it's like that, only 100 times worse. Jesus comes to remove that and fill them with joy that comes from knowing not only did Jesus overcome that which they left him to face alone, but the living God did not hold their doubt, their disbelief, their despair, their abandonment of him against them. To me, this reading gives the valley of dry bones a very special meaning. Now, I really want you to think about that. Can you imagine the relief, the load off your mind and heart and conscience? That's the kind of peace brought by our Lord and the level of joy with which Jesus filled the disciples. Not those things that always leave you empty of the true joy of searching for escape from your troubles, but the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. That comes only when the Holy Spirit keeps your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, as we've read in Philippians 4:4-7. Because it's not like saying, oh, don't worry, it's not your fault. Oh, it very much is your fault. You have been forgiven for your faults. This is the kind of peace brought by our Lord and the level of joy which Jesus fills you in the baptismal life of the church. We rejoice in that baptismal life every day. And you know what? Over two Sundays in a row, we rejoiced in even hearing the rite of the preparation of First Communion. Because once again, kids in our congregation who have studied diligently to know Jesus better, to understand His sacraments better, to understand the forgiveness, to understand why we are not just a valley of dry bones, will be welcome to the table with us. May we know as much as these little kids. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you. Not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to Him. 1 Peter 3:21 and 22. Another relevant text as our second year confirmands are writing a Bible study on it. Stay tuned for more. And it is also the kind of peace brought by our Lord and the level of joy with which Jesus fills the world as He leaves you here and sends you out to those who have yet to know that kind of peace and be filled with that kind of joy. Everything so much. Guilt is such a horrible, horrible bedmate. It is something that can never satisfy you. And even when you say, yes, I am guilty, that is no comfort. Denying guilt is no comfort. There is no comfort in the devil of guilt. Jesus came and stood among them, among their cowering selves, hiding out. And He says to them, peace be with you. When He had said this, He showed them His hands and His side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I'm sending you. Yes, He sends His disciples then, and the ministers of His church, and even you, dear newborn children of God, to bring that peace of the forgiveness of sins to the world. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave you, peace I give you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. John 14:26 and 27. Then He says, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, Jesus says, I have overcome the world. John 16:33. That the devil lays all sorts of temptations before you to despise God's word and to seek your pleasure in sin, that the world rages against you and seems to be crushing you with its demands and its responsibilities, that the lusts and weakness of your own flesh rear their ugly heads when you are at your best and at your worst, tells you not that God is your enemy, it tells you that they are your enemies. That is the daily struggle of all. It's an old saying that the day you are baptized, the devil begins his assault on you. The day that God says, oh, this is my child, the devil is sick and jealous of that. But therefore, Do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Matthew 6, 31 to 34. So there it is. Peace be with you. That is to say, Jesus is with you, showing you his wounds, even giving you his crucified and risen flesh, by which you are forgiven all your sins and delivered from God's wrath into a life of peace and joy forever. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, beginning in baptism. Now I really want you to think about that. Can you imagine the relief, the load off your mind and heart and conscience? That's the kind of peace brought by our Lord and the level of joy which Jesus filled the disciples. I don't want to distract you too much, but I'll distract you a little. If you were to sit and imagine everything you have to accomplish, everything you have to do, everything you've ever done and done incorrectly, every negative thing that's happened to you, the load starts to fill. Not that those things that always leave you empty, these things of worry and anxiety. But then there's the true joy of searching for escape from your troubles. But the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding that comes from the Holy Spirit, will guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That can't be replicated by drugs, by alcohol, by entertainment, by sports, by camping, by video games, by anything else. There is no escape other than the escape from a fallen and broken world that Jesus says he will give you when he wipes it all away. And remember, baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you. It's a remarkable thing that happened on that morning. Until this year, I never have seen such a correlation between the valley of dry bones and the disciples in the upper room. Both of them lay there with nothing to give, nothing to bring to it, nothing at all. And by the way, that's exactly where Jesus Christ meets you. He doesn't meet you and go, hey, I need you to meet me halfway and then I'll bring you the rest of the way. He finds us. The valley of the dry bones is where he finds us. Only the dry bones is more honest. They're dead. There's nothing there. They have no flesh. They have no sinew. They have no blood. They have no organs. There is literally, and once they're all that, they still have nothing, right? Because they're just laying there. Now he says to prophesy to them, breathe on them. They're nothing without the Holy Spirit, and you and I are nothing without that, because the Holy Spirit is what gives you life, what gives you faith, what gives you hope in Jesus Christ. So when Thomas comes in and he says, well, unless I get to see what you guys have already seen, then I'm not going to believe it either. And we get kind of mad at Thomas, even though he's saying, could you please give me what you gave them last week? Well, I guess we all get to be doubting Thomas's then. Because in the church, we have one thing to give you every week. Jesus for you. That's what we give you. This is what he's called for me to do, to be a minister of word and sacrament, to be the bringer of law and gospel, to point out sin and salvation. I thank God that He revives these dry bones and makes us living creatures. This is the day the Lord has made. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds in the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.